creeping. I'm like, yeah, I know.
It's like, ah, you've been sniped.
Investigative journalism.
Yeah, she, every week is a little different.
Yeah.
It depends on her schedule.
Oh, this isn't breaking HIPAA, but when we were, did she tell you that somebody like passed out in front of her?
Happens all the time, actually.
Well, yeah, but like it happened in front of us too. Like we were in the, you know, down there and somebody probably just had too much blood taken and, you know.
There was someone.
We're anemic. So like the mom walked them out and then like was like, hey, lay down on the ground, put your feet up.
There's someone who went in a couple weeks ago who had an ice skate go through their arm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And,
through their arm?
Yeah, like it ran over their arm.
Oh.
And come to find out, they were one of the people who works for Disney on Ice.
Oh.
That's about right.
Okay. That's, wow.
Most situations were probably going to happen, yeah.
So, like, goddamn.
Dan, you wound up getting a PS5, right?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, so I still got to get one.
Shit. My brother had one, and he just sold it. And he was like, do you want it? I'm like, I already have one. Yeah. I'm like, I kind of want the second one, though. We threw a ball, and she knocked it over. So, whatever.
It is on my list.
I almost bought a second one. But then I was like, my brother's like, do you want it? Because otherwise I'm going to, like, flip it. I'm like, eh. And I'm like, you know what? Like, with stuff going the way it is, I probably need to save some money. So I'm like, if you sell it like right off the bat, don't worry about it. But like, if you still have it in like a week, let me know. He texted me like two hours later. He's like, yeah, I sold it for $650. I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you got yours directly through Sony, right?
No, through Best Buy.
Oh, you got it through Best Buy. Or you were in the queue for Sony, right?
And then, yeah,
yeah. I got mine through my neighbor because. He's a boss.
Boss!
He literally went like, hey. I like just told him I was looking. He's like, yeah, keep an eye out for stuff. He's like, hey, I have like a pre-order through Sony. And I had one, you know, already come in, blah, blah, blah. Do you want the run from Sony? I'm like, once again here. He's like, this week? I'm like, yeah. So.
Yeah. It's on my list of things to buy.
Yeah.
I've powered up a total of 2 times.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, dude, I use my
The only one I have on there, the only game that is exclusive that I have there is Spider-Man Miles Morales, and I haven't gotten into it yet, but I'll get into that soon.
I still just am playing PS4 games. Just because, like,
me too, but that's all.
Yeah. I moved my PS4 into my bedroom,
and
my PS5 is in the living room. So yeah. I'll boot up my PS4 every now and then, but even stuff that I've, like, everything else I bought, I have my computer in my bedroom. Like a new King of Fighters, I'll get that for PS5, but yeah. I have it on my computer in my bedroom.
I've just found it harder and harder to, like, with PC games, and I don't know if it's just because, like, when I'm playing a game these days, it's just, like, my time is limited between so many different things.
Yeah.
That when I have the time to sit down and play a game, it's, like...
Kind of want it to be a dedicated experience.
Yeah, like I don't want to get distracted by by something on my computer, like something else on my computer.
Oh yeah, by like somebody else talking on like Discord or
Discord or Reddit or Facebook or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
I hear what you're saying.
Or even that, or just like because it being on like the PC ecosystem, being like
someone sent you a message or someone wants you to join this game.
Or just like a bug or something not going right, or like my drivers or something like that. Like half the time, every time I boot up my computer. Or even like log in like from the lock screen, it's like, oh, you've got new drivers update. Yep. You've got new blah, blah, blah. Where it's like, at least with like the PS5.
Those are 2-1 system update.
Yeah. And it installs on its own.
Yep.
Like it's like, okay, you have the power saving settings on or whatever, it does everything. So like
I automatically can just, boop, for you.
Hit the button. Oh, hey, welcome back.
You're playing a game here. Let me download some of this in the background.
Yeah. Like, and like, I think that's the thing that like, I don't know if it's just a convenience factor. I still love PC gaming. But I've almost gotten to the point where I'm like, hey, maybe I just go and grab, like, I don't use my PC for anything outside of gaming.
Yeah.
Or in, like, video editing, but, like, I haven't been video editing because I don't have the time. Yeah. I'm now like, do I just grab my gaming PC, bring it down here, and connect it to my big-ass TV?
Yeah, I've done that before.
And just, like, and just use it exclusively in big screen mode? Like,
that's how it was at Clock Tower for me for a bit.
Yeah, because I'm like,
I was never on the PCs.
they're great. The thing that, like, outside of, like, it being like, oh, it's a computer too, like, obvious benefit, is that you can get a lot of stuff for pretty, like,
pretty low cost,
pretty low. Or if you're, you know, like, if you're willing to sail the high seas, if you want to try something out.
Yeah.
You could try it out. Like, oh, I want a demo of the game. I'll just go and pirate it for a day. You know, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why I like the PlayStation Now. I got to do that.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing that, like, I haven't probably pirated a game in 10 years. Yeah.
They've learned at this point to at least offer enough. And the services having some of these games available for free at launch has been kind of interesting. Like, it allows you to try games out that you wouldn't normally try. Like, Xbox Game Pass, Warhammer's on that.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of up my alley. Mm-hmm. I like turn-based games. I like strategy games.
But you would have never bought it.
I would never have bought that game because I'm not in love with Warhammer, despite the fact that I like a lot of things like Warhammer. I just don't like their tone and take on things.
Yeah. It's almost... Are you talking regular Warhammer or 40K?
This is Warhammer 3, so I think it's just regular Warhammer.
Okay.
Yeah, 40K is more of like the Space Marine kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it's so weird because, like, regular Warhammer goes, like, almost too high, like, too far off into, like, the Tolkien high fantasy kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's almost too much into that, like, where it's, like, it feels impenetrable.
Yeah.
Like, in the sense, like, where you're kind of stepping into this world where everything's already going on.
Yeah.
And there's no entry point for you.
There's so much lore to it that you're like, where do I even begin?
Yeah, and they don't, like, give you a starting point for the lore. They're just like, this event is happening right now.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help, too, that, like, there's an entire, like, tabletop wargaming. Yeah. Like not they created, but, like, when you think of wargaming, I'm like, oh, 40K.
Yeah.
And Warhammer. You're like, that's what I think, you know?
And there are games that can get by on having kind of a dense lore, and you don't necessarily need to follow it. Like, say, for instance, The Witcher has a very dense lore, but Geralt's going to do his own thing regardless of it. Yeah. So, like, it's kind of, like, that dense lore is important, and the stuff that's happening in the story and reflecting in the story, but Geralt only knows a portion of it, and all the characters only know a portion of it, if any.
And the thing about that, too, in lore, in terms of, like, The Witcher, is that it's
more of a real world occurrence, like where you're seeing things more from people's perspectives.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a game like Lord of the Rings or a lore like Lord of the Rings is more like they're very defined sides. They're very defined.
There's, like, tomes of lore in related to Tolkien.
Yeah. Stuff. Because, like, he's a prolific writer. The dude wrote languages for the characters that he had.
Yeah. Whereas, like, something with The Witcher, it's like, yes, there's a lot of lore behind it, but you'll only ever encounter, like, there's some things that you'll only ever encounter is if you get to that specific point in a story, whether you're playing the game or reading one of the
only other one I can really kind of use as a good reference to The Elder Scrolls. The Elder Scrolls has a very dense lore as well, but it's
massive.
And it's massive. But you can read or ignore it as much as you choose.
Yeah, you can still have a great experience with it and only ever scratch the surface of the lore.
Oh, 100%.
And that's another good
one. I feel like Warhammer, I can't do that. I feel like Warhammer is like, you kind of need to know something about what's going on.
Another great example and you can enjoy this and never have a super deep understanding of it, but, like, Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And, like, the entire, like, all of those games is there. Those games have such a story that is told between the lines, and you have to do so much, like, research and insight and whatever, and just inference into it.
I think I started The Elder Scrolls at, like, I want to say 5, 4, one of those. I didn't play any of the ones before it.
So was it like Morrowind or?
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, 4 or 5 years old. I'm like,
No.
Oh.
So there were games back then. Yeah, like, yeah. The Elder Scrolls series has been around for a long time. They had older school games. But are you talking like Elder Scrolls Morrowind or Oblivion?
What was after Oblivion?
Skyrim.
Skyrim's
been out for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. So I started at Skyrim.
Yeah.
Not knowing anything before it.
Yeah.
So I started in Morrowind. And Morrowind was That's where I think they've improved, is Morrowind kind of felt like I didn't know what was going on and I didn't know what to do. And it was fun to play, and there were all these like kind of things, but like I just didn't know what the world was.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they do a better job of explaining the world in Oblivion and in Skyrim.
Yeah, that's one of those things where like I'm between the two of you split the difference. I started those games with Oblivion. I went back and played Morrowind afterwards.
Yep.
And then, you know, I've been a fan since. But the thing with them is, yeah, they do have such, you know, there's so much to do in it and so much around it. It's like, and they're all, like, they take place centuries apart from one another.
Oh, yeah.
The thing I like, though, and this is why I think why the series works pretty well, is they give you dialogue options that are realistic. Like, if you run into, like, one of the Daedric Princes in Skyrim, like you have like the option to be like, oh, I know who this god is, and what, like, should I be scared or should I be pissed off? And then there's also the option, like, within the text of you, what you can respond to the god with is like, who the fuck are you?
Like, just be like, excuse me, please explain yourself. And then they'll do that. They'll explain themselves and be like, give you context to like who they are.
Yep. Or they won't. And if they won't, it's usually because they're
gonna kill you.
They're violent, or like, you know, but they usually oftentimes like kind of still explain, you know, oh, you know, you're not paying me my reverence. You know,
and even then, like the importance of like the Daedric, you know, gods and stuff in four was such a huge issue, like such a huge thing.
And it's very periphery in Skyrim.
Like, yeah, it's not
it's not the main storyline at all.
Yeah, no. Like
Dragons.
Yeah. Between Tamriel and Skyrim and stuff. It's true. Yeah. So.
Dragon Breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Warhammer, I feel like, has a very dense lore. And I enjoy kind of the aspects of like how they kind of do the games. It actually reminded me a lot of the older, like the Sid Meier's War games, where you have like the lions.
Civilization?
Not Civilization, but like when like the old Civil War games he used to do, where you still had like the old school lines of, troops,
like the fronts, and
like,
stuff.
Like instead of having like instead of controlling one like one group, you control like an entire battalion, and it was more about positioning.
Yeah,
so like you have your full army out and it's like, okay, so I'm gonna send this troop up to go attack the flank, and I'm gonna have this troop, you know, goad them in, or like, you know, instead of just sending like all the lines at once.
Yeah, it's more about getting the positioning so you can achieve a flank.
So
and stuff.
It's kind of like medieval battling, and that's kind of cool. I like that. But yeah, I still don't understand the story at all.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure there. If you found somebody who was very well steeped in that, they would just be like, "Oh no, you're just not approaching it the right way," and would explain it to you like. That, but like, yeah, it is just one of those things where it just seems from an outsider's perspective that's so deep. And even for me, like Magic the Gathering, just such like a, like you start to realize that like, oh, hey, some of the like the expansions and stuff are revolving around the different groups in areas and stuff within.
Never get into the magics.
No, card games, I'm generally, like, I do a hard line for this.
I like them, but I don't
have to build a deck. No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't have, I'll try. I don't have the attention, not the attention span, but I don't have the critical thinking ability to go be like, hey, this is what I want to achieve with this deck. Get and build something around it to do just that. I do understand a lot of the concepts and like how you can approach, you know.
And you have to put your house for sale in order to play.
Oh yeah, definitely that too.
You think you get the best cards. gotta have the best cards.
Well,
if I don't show up with the best deck, I've wasted my time.
Well, modern Magic is like they rotate deck. Like they have like.
Oh, yeah.
They rotate like the past like year and a half worth of decks or whatever of cards that they released.
So older cards are no longer viable?
They're just in a different format.
Oh. Yeah.
Like with like the competitive, like I'm, you know, just like how we always are with stuff. I'm looking at it from the competitive scene.
So it's basically like buying like older Dungeons and Dragons like books that are like for fourth edition or third edition.
Yeah, and every once
the storyline you can still approach in the fifth edition, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's made not, for it.
Yeah, and the thing is, like every couple of years, and this is one a criticism that I think Wizards has had for a while is that they'll re-release a card in a new what's it called, and whether it just
new
be
deck.
Yeah, within a new release, and just be like, okay, it's coming back, and it's still in standard, so like it's still in the standard format. But they'll probably just re-release it with like a different artwork or something like that. But
I got to get those artists paid.
Yeah, so it's like that works. But
HD&D.
But then again, yeah, that was a pandemic hobby for me.
Magic
was magic, and I still want to play it. It's just I approached it the wrong way in that I had like. I went in and was just like, oh, yeah, no, I'm starting to play it. And I was playing the video game because they've got, like, a free-to-play thing. And, like, I was learning it through that. And then people just started buying me cards.
We both had the pandemic thing go to happen. Yeah. You got into Magic. I got back into World of Warcraft, and then it broke my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither for me.
I'm just saying, I would have played Final Fantasy 14 with you, but I would have played Final Fantasy 14. But yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, okay, I went about it the wrong way. Was trying to be like, oh, I want to go to a Magic night or whatever. I want somebody to kind of explain it to me and like all that. But it was like pandemic, like we're not doing live events. So I was like, okay, I'm sitting there.
Streams.
And then people just, you know, like bought me cards and stuff. And I'm like, I have all these cards. I don't know what to do with it. And I'd never had like they have sites now where you can go and like you can get like the meta, like the things that work well.
Yeah, like what synergizes together works well. Yeah,
like what's a good idea for a deck or to base it off of whatever. And then you can go and take that, export it, and then import it into the, like the
game.
The commerce website to buy the cards off of.
Oh, nice.
Because people will do like, they'll break decks or whatever.
Which one's the target?
Yeah, yeah, they'll keep the stuff that they want for themselves and then go and put list
whatever,
the rest of it.
Whatever cards don't fit into their meta.
Yeah, onto this, like, it's kind of like eBay, whatever, for it, but it's specifically for Magic, and you can just buy it off of there in varying qualities and stuff. So, like, you can get the deck you want for, it's like, okay, instead of buying hundreds of dollars worth of cards just to
try to get lucky in one pack.
Yeah, in one pack, you can just go, okay, I want all these cards, it's a 60-card deck, whatever, it's going to cost me $150. Okay, great, whatever. You do that, and in a couple days, you've got all the cards, and then you sleeve it and you play it.
Yeah, Johnny's into that.
Yeah, and like that's, I should have asked my buddy that I was playing, like that got me back into it, how like I should have approached it.
That's what he does. He does the breaks with like four or five other people.
Mm-hmm.
They open everything and split everything between them type of thing.
Yep. And they booster nights and like draft nights and stuff where you go to a comic shop, you pay $20 or $40 or whatever, they give you X number of packs and you and the, you know, the group that you're playing with, you each pick cards to build your deck, and whether it's a 30 card deck or a 60 card deck or whatever, go from that. But even then, I don't know the game well enough to know, okay, I want to pick that card. I want to pick that card. Yeah. Like I don't know where to start.
Yep.
Yeah, I have no idea.
No, any interest I ever had in Magic cards was always just due to artwork. And in cards in general, any kind of cards that I had that weren't baseball cards were just that. It was like I liked the art.
Yeah.
So I had like a lot of Marvel cards growing up.
Yeah. I didn't even have those.
Had the X-Men Fleer series.
I didn't have those.
My brothers had some of the X-Men, so I had
it. Oh, I had the full Fleer package from like 94, 95.
Yeah, I had them by proxy.
I got the baseballs. Mm-hmm. I got the basketballs and the footballs.
Mm-hmm.
And those.
I had Pokemon cards.
Oh, like, I had the OG Pokemon.
I didn't have the OG Pokemon cards because of just that. The art was not good for the OG Pokemon cards in a lot of cases.
No. Well, I actually did play the Pokemon trading card game when I was younger. And like I actually played it the right way. Instead
oh, I was going
to
say, we didn't play it the right way.
See, no. I'd play blue, but I wouldn't actually play the card game. So I'd trade people and I had my Game Boy, but like I would never.
Well, the card game
I was a little old for it too at the time.
Yeah, the card game was significantly different than actual like playing. Oh,
yeah, definitely. Yeah,
you had like energy points and the pebbles that they would.
Yeah,
but and that was just it. It was like the artwork was not to my style, and I was into other stuff at the time.
Well, it was Baby's first anime, so to me it was like, I don't care. Yeah, and I fit that criteria. It wasn't first anime, but you know what I meant.
Yeah, my baby's first anime was Voltron. So
yeah, it's baby's first isekai.
Yeah.
Does Pokemon count as an isekai?
No, because he doesn't. That's the
world that he lives in.
Unless you follow the theory of Ash being in a coma.
That's
then it is. But if you're not following that, then no, it's not.
But the thing is, even if Ash was in a coma, Pokemon still exist.
They might not. You don't know that.
But I thought it was he gets struck by lightning when he already has the Pikachu in his hand.
Oh, I didn't follow the entire like. That would make sense, though.
Yeah,
I guess.
I don't know, but
beats me.
Yeah, so I
it's sense, a weird though. World to begin with, man. Pokemon in general is.
It really is. It's like, hey, how do we mix
everyday objects with...
Hey, kids!
How do we mix dog fighting and make it... how do we take dog fighting and make it family-friendly and kid-friendly?
Hey, kids, you want to go on a nationwide epic adventure by yourself?
Yeah, this rock has arms.
How old are you, son? 10?
And we all wanted to do it. We all wanted to just run away and become Pokemon trainers.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you.
And we still do.
That's what I'm telling you. It's Oaks Bay and all their moms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That entire village. All these kids are going out to be Pokemon masters. Their dads don't come back.
Who's left?
And Oaks the only guy there. Like, I'm sending all these kids away.
Yeah, I'm a Pokemon professor. Right.
Yeah, he's a professor, all right.
Don't worry, kids. You can send me all the Pokemon you're not using. I'll keep track of them, and I'll check them with your mom, too.
Oh, you're so kind, Professor.
I'm not kidding. Whenever they would do a flashback to Pallet Town, Ash's mom is there, but Oak's fucking there, too.
Yeah.
At the same place. They're not two separate calls. Oak's already there.
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, good God.
Creeping.
Hey, he's a professor. He's an educated man. Yeah. He knows what to do in those towns.
Yeah,
those are small towns with like weird
Oak gets
weird theories on Pokemon ghosts.
Oak gets around. Did you play the new one, Arceus?
Yeah,
Arceus?
I've played it. Nope. It's fun, but it's unfinished. It's got a lot of the gameplay is like halfway there.
Yeah, like I was like, ooh, this looks really fun, but then at the same time, I'm like,
the gameplay is like a lot of fun, but it's repetitive. Mm-hmm. I mean, all Pokemon games are super repetitive anyway, but this one is to the point where like I don't really want to play it anymore.
Yeah, like it looks like almost like a fan game.
Yeah, like they definitely this is kind of a it feels like a proof of concept.
Yeah.
Like, in my opinion, like, someone at Pokemon team was like, look, if we're going to change the style up in any way, this is a way for us to do it.
Yeah. They're like, here's a proof of concept. And then, like, the game director was like, great, you have 6 months. Like, yeah. Because, like, there's, like...
That's basically it.
Yeah, because, like, there's no trainer battles, because this is before a time where they were
wild
Pokemon
and free.
Trainers.
There are still some battles where you do fight other people. With their own Pokemon.
But there's no gyms.
Yeah, there's no gyms. There's no... this is before basically civilization. Like, there's towns.
Yeah.
And they've built up, like, a couple towns. But a lot of people are still living in, like, nomadic tents and stuff. So this is, like, Pokemon in, like...
Run the world.
400, 500 years before the Pokemon games.
Yeah. So, it's...
The one thing that kind of sucks about it is that... you're learning a lot about like these creatures beforehand. This is before they even like they don't even know all how many Pokemon there are or what, you know, the thing is. But the issue is that like you're catching a bunch of Pokemon that you're not using, and it's just to bring up the score of like you'll get like a bar that you have to fill up for like how many like Bidoof you catch.
Yeah. Like you
and
almost
it's like go catch 5 Bidoof, and it's like, sure, why? Just go catch 5 Bidoof.
Yeah.
And it's like, but what if I don't want to use Bidoof? Well, that's okay. You don't have to use Bidoof, but you need to catch 5 of them to finish this quest.
You need 5 of them to finish this quest and to update this thing in your Poke.
Yeah, you need to find out all of the foods that Bidoof likes. And until you've caught 5 of them, you don't know all the information about Bidoof. So
Pokedex.
Yeah. Because we need five of them to understand what they eat.
Yep.
How they interact. Yeah, like.
And then they'll be like, okay, so how many of them do you sneak up on and catch mm-hmm. before, and where you caught them before they even knew that you hit them with a Pokeball, or like, you know, how many of them did you battle? And like,
oh, Jesus.
That's how you, like, what's cool is like, that's how you would normally like fill out that information, is you'd actually have to do it by experience. But then you can run into the situation where there's Pokemon that are legendary, and it's like, you shouldn't have to run into these multiple times. They don't, it doesn't work that way. It
doesn't exist five yeah. times.
Exactly.
I need to catch five Mewtwo's just to understand.
Yeah. And
there's only four in the game.
And there are some things in the like the open world that are fun in that game, like where like there are some Pokemon that are super aggressive. So like if they see you, like if they like even if you're fucking across the field,
just and attack.
Like they'll like, just like you'll see this like head pop up in the grass, and be like, fuck you. Yeah. like from like 30 yards, just Pokemon just like running after you.
Rhinos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's funny, and I like that. But the other element is, like, you can't stick a fucking step in the water.
Oh.
You'll drown immediately. So, like, it's like, water Pokemon. Are you going to go fishing for them? No. They have to be close enough to the shore to for you to interact with them or oh, for you to throw geez. A Pokeball. And if you make a slip, which you're going to, you're going to...
You're just going to drown and
die.
You're going to die, but you're not going to, like... When you die in that game, you lose some of the stuff you're carrying around.
Mm. Makes sense.
Yep.
Like every other game.
But the repetition gets a little tedious after a while on in that game. And because yeah. you don't have those set goals mm-hmm. of like, oh, I need to go to, you know, this next town or go to this next route.
Yeah.
You end up being a little bit directionless. Like, okay, so what am I going to do in this field? Do I need to fucking get the rest of these quests done? Or should I check out this new area? You know, so you end up being a little directionless.
Yeah. Okay. How long does Nocturne take to get difficult? Because I know it's like one of the most difficult SMT games.
It's difficult pretty much after the first boss.
Okay, so after you clear the hospital area.
Yep.
Okay.
As you start navigating the world,
yeah,
like
that's when
you start ramping up the difficulty, especially when you start running into different versions of death.
Okay, because like so, I started it. Last week, I've played it,
yep.
you know, whatever, and I'm still in that introductory area, but they showed me that first boss, the
Fornius,
yes, yep. yes, the mana, not the mana war, yeah, it's a big mana war, it's a big stingray.
Manticore?
Yeah. Big stingray with its eyes on top.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, and it was just like, I'm in that area, like, and, like, every demon that I've interacted with, I've been like, okay, like I've negotiated them into being, mm-hmm. becoming, you know, and I don't know if I'm just grinding enough or like, but I just haven't felt
pressured yet.
Yeah. So, and I just know that you said in the past, it's one of, it's a very punishingly difficult.
Yeah. No, you haven't gotten to the open world portion of that game yet.
Okay.
There's a portion of that game. Once you get to move from location to location and start seeing the different factions that are out there within the world of other people and demons.
Yeah.
That is when things start getting hard.
Okay, cool. Because to me, like, I do like...
Yeah, they're not going to, you know, shove their dick down your throat the first boss.
Well, it's a Japanese game. You never know. It's an old Japanese RPG. Yeah. You never know.
They kind of want to give you a little bit of sense of accomplishment before they do that.
Yeah.
No, you'll notice when you start running into bosses... like in places where you shouldn't,
yeah.
like you're running through again, like different versions of death,
yeah,
in like out in the open world by accident, or like you'll take a wrong turn somewhere in a dungeon, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, like you're up against a monster that you can't get away from,
yeah.
Oh boy,
like you know,
yeah.
Last Japanese game I played was just forever. That was the
and again, you're also going to find those situations where like you're going to find like some of your trash demons. Mm-hmm. Have a little secret in their pocket called Mudo.
Yeah.
And every now and then they'll bring it out of their pocket and it'll fail more often than not. But that one time it doesn't fail, you're fucking dead. And you're like, wouldn't that save last? Oh, please, I saved 10 minutes ago? Oh. Or did I save an hour ago?
Yeah.
Three hours later.
Yeah.
I am one of those people who, especially with games that don't autosave, I just save scum all the time.
You need to save scum all the time.
Right? Every time
unless
I see
it, changed it.
Every time I see a save spot, I just save. But yeah.
Because yeah, you get that trash mob, and it'd be like three of the same trash mob. They're like Mudo,
yeah.
Mudo, Mudo.
And when you multiply, yikes. When you multiply the number of times that yep. you know, it's
at some point those dice aren't going to roll yeah. in your favor.
Yeah.
Last Japanese one I played was the Yakuza spinoff.
That's fun.
Oh, Lost Judgment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or was it Judgment? Or
Judgment. I think it's just Judgment.
Lost Judgment's the sequel to it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard if you like that, I heard Lost Judgment is way better than Judgment. But well, I think that's good. It might be only on PS5, so you might have to wait for that. But
yeah, Judgment, it's just a lot of narrative.
Yeah.
All the Yakuza games have a lot of narrative.
Yeah. Yep. If you like,
they are the spiritual successor to Shenmue. They're going to tell you a lot of what's going on.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
If you like those, there's a in the is it 4 or 5 that has a bunch of the New Japan roster in it.
Four.
It's got Okada. It's basically got all of Chaos in it.
I was gonna say Okada's the main.
He's not the main, but like there's
in that group of wrestlers, isn't he like the main?
Yeah. It's Okada, Tomohiro Ishii. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's those two, and then it's Naito and maybe Bushi. I don't know. It's one or two people from LIJ as well. Oh, by the way, did you see Sonata?
Yeah, someone. Yeah.
Sonata is the U.S. champ.
New Year's champ. I saw that on the cage match the other day when I was looking.
She's still a pirate.
Kind of.
A little bit.
Kind of. Yeah, he definitely seems like he's like a One Piece villain.
Yeah.
Yakuza 6.
Oh, it's 6. Oh, yeah. Cause...
And it's, so there's Naito, Okada, Tanahashi, Evil, Kushida, and Yano.
Kushida? Really?
Yeah.
I never thought that, like, I mean, like, I knew New Japan, like, thought highly of Kushida.
She was huge in New Japan for years, dude.
But they would never let him become a heavyweight.
No, because he's not a heavyweight.
Oh, Jesus. There's a bunch of fucking codes to unlock. Yeah. So you can, on this website, I don't remember who I just typed in, but there's Okada Naito, Kazuma Kiryu. Mm-hmm. There's Goro Mijama. There's Tanahashi, Kushida, Evil, Amon, Yuji Nagata, Yano, Satsuki, Dago, Komi.
Can I surprise Yujiro's not in there?
And Shibata.
I feel like he fits right in for a Yakuza game.
Like the giant pit bull should be in there.
Yeah, just I feel like Yujiro should just be the guy at like the corner of like one of the bars you go to. Yeah. He's just like sitting in a booth with
just waiting.
Yeah. Two girls in bunny costumes.
Just waiting. Yeah. To beat somebody up. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm trying to think what else happened this week in the wrestlings from the New Japans.
Not the New Japan, but Impact, the Bullet Club.
Bullet Club done turned, son.
Straight up Bullet Club is a force in the U.S. now with a couple of the OGs back.
Yeah.
Jay White actually being a successful Bullet Club leader and turning off turning off the team, turning on him before they turned on him.
Yeah, like he turned on the team before the team turned on him.
Yep.
But it's just like...
Because between Evil and Tama, he's like, I'm ahead of you guys. I know what's going on.
Yeah. So then G.O.D. goes to House of Torture or whatever, right? Like, they've got to. Like,
Or they split off entirely and just be G.O.D.
Take the other Tongans with them.
Yep.
Bad
Luck Fale.
Bad Luck Fale.
And then Higaleo.
Yeah.
Higaleo, yeah.
Poor Chase Owens. His parents are always fighting.
Yeah. But Higaleo's in the U.S. Right. As of right now, he's in Impact. I don't know how long that Impact contract's going, but so he could be going back to New Japan or staying in the U.S. and joining the American version of BC with Chris Bay.
What's funny is... Jay White specifically brought up, he goes, you know, New Japan, AEW, Impact.
Yeah.
Like, it's Bullet Club, and the Bucks have been talking back and forth on Twitter about it. So, are the Bucks back in Bullet Club? Or will they be?
Well, they're still associated with the Good Brothers, so
yeah.
They have to be.
So, like, the Elite was... The Elite was never kicked out of the Bullet Club. It was
never official. Yeah.
It was the firing squad that tried to kick the Elite out of the Bullet Club.
Yep.
So it was Tama Tonga Loa, and what's their dad's name?
Haku?
Haku. Yeah, Haku.
What's wrong with Haku?
He's a badass.
Okay, when that happened, Haku was with them that night. Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with Haku?
No, I'm just saying. They were the ones who, like, quote unquote, kicked them out of the Bullet Club. Because even after they left, they never got, like, the ceremonious.
They never got the I mean, they lost in, like, New Japan.
But they never got, like,
they're dead, like, Bullet Club standing over them.
Yeah.
Like, no longer part of our group kind of thing.
Yeah, they never got the Kenny turning on AJ and, like, the
send-off. Yeah, the Adam Cole death. Mm-hmm.
Like.
Well, who's.
Like we got the Jay turning on Kenny.
Yeah.
But Jay wasn't joining Bullet Club at that point. He was rejecting.
Yeah.
Who's left in New Japan right now for Bullet Club? Chase?
You have that whole evil group.
Yeah. Well, not besides the Japanese group.
Yeah.
Not the House of Torture or whatever it is.
It's
Chase and, or was the Tongans.
Chase and Bad Luck.
Yep. Bad Luck Fale.
Like, you see I know you say Tongan, but, like, Bad Luck Fale was, like,
he was
OG, man.
Yeah, yeah.
OG.
Yeah.
Like, OG. Like,
yeah. He's still, I consider him a Tongan because he's, you know, Tongan. Yeah. So I don't know if he's going to stay with BC or.
Yeah, we'll see.
He goes with the GODs.
But I feel like he almost has more allegiance to.
The Bullet
to
Club?
Not just to Bullet Club, but to Machine Gun. Because
they're one of those. Because
they were the original four.
Yeah. Wasn't Tama one of the original four?
No.
Nope. It wasn't even original four. It was so three. It was
Machine Gun, Fale, and Prince. Devitt.
Yeah.
I thought Tama was in there. Or did he come in after?
Came in after.
My Japan references is vague.
Mm-hmm.
Blurry.
But no, when Finn turned on the funky weapon. It was a.
Well, all right.
Squeaky toy. No, it was a. With Fale and.
So Chase is really the only American over there right now, right?
I mean.
Yeah,
well, in the Bullet Club.
Of the minor members. I mean, you got.
Oh, El Phantasmo. Yeah. He's not American, but.
He just went back, so. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like ELP.
Because he was in Impact, and he just went back for the that tag cup that they have.
Yeah. Trying to think, like,
I just pulled it up.
Yujiro Takahashi is—he's not a gaijin, but he's a gaijin. Yeah,
yeah. There's Takahashi.
She's just tearing apart that.
Sho, Kenta, Hikuleo, Jado, Gato, Evil, Tongo, or Togo. So yeah, really, only American is Phantasmo and Owens.
And Phantasmo is Canadian, technically.
Yeah, technically. Yeah, North American.
North American.
North American. And then for U.S., it says Bay, White, and then Machine Gun and Gallows.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I don't think they have anybody in, like, the L.A. Dojo.
No.
No.
So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because Bay's Impact, White's New Japan Strong, which is kind of the L.A. Dojo, but not just on their strong tour right now.
Even though he's technically, I think, he's a Kiwi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right.
And then Anderson and Gallows are in Impact. So they have officially no one right now in AEW, officially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it definitely seems like that. Well, I mean, they've got Jay White.
Yeah, so White's on New Japan Strong, AEW, and
Impact.
Interesting.
Whereas Bay and Gallows and Anderson are all Impact.
What could be funny is Cole's the one who brought in White to AEW.
And Red Dragon.
So, but White has called out the Young Bucks specifically since the Bullet Club
thing.
Reformation thing.
Kind of.
So the question there is, okay, does he expect Cole and the Young Bucks to come back in, or is he calling them out?
As
enemies.
Part of the Cole,
yeah.
Whatever their new group is.
Yeah. because obviously
something weird.
Because there's definitely weird dynamics between Red Dragon and the box.
So
the interfaction of Cole and Red Dragon with White.
So like, you gotta think when like last week when like Cole came out to talk to Hangman.
Yeah.
Red Dragon jumped him.
Yeah.
It was just the three of them. My thought with that is, yes, exactly. June. Oh. Junebug, come here. Is that Jay, if they don't bring other members of the Bullet Club back in the interim, that Jay is the surrogate for Kenny.
Yep.
Until Kenny gets back, and it is the thing that pushes them over the edge to go back to being faces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas
the box or
yes, the box. Whereas like they were like, hey, Hangman's our friend. Like, you know, we have to kind of like, we're not going to interfere with this because he's come all this way.
Gotcha. Yeah. We're not on great terms, but we still respect like, and they were kind of leaning towards that role with Cole before he got jumped.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And now it's just like, okay, you know, are they going to have it where, you know,
Hangman teams with the Bucks take on Cole and Red Dragon eventually?
Yeah. Cole and Red Dragon, or, you know, Kenny comes back in and they reform and they become friendly. Yeah. They become the elite again. And that could be like a, hey, the Bucks and Kenny realizing what friendship really is.
You can have, and then you can bring Hangman back into that too. And so you can have that be a foursome versus
White
Cole and Cole and Red Dragon.
Yeah. White and Undisputed Era. Yeah.
So many possibilities. Yeah.
Where we think we're going with the stable with Moxley Bryan?
Oh, I think we're getting the stable after the fight.
I think it's Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
Revolution. First blood match?
Yeah, possibly.
As much as I wanted the Death Rider.
My curiosity is you might get the name, you know?
Probably not. I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if Bryan would call himself a Death Rider. Yeah.
Now, does Kingston join this faction?
No.
Since he was with the tag team?
No.
Mox?
No.
And does he bring...
he's going to do his own thing with Proud and Powerful after this.
I'll say, he going with the Proud and Powerful?
Yep.
Little three-way?
That's what they've been leaning towards from what I can tell, is they'll do a little thing with them.
No more Inner Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think Hager will get a nice contract after.
No, you might see Hager still be around as a muscle for Jericho.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Doing an appearance.
I think Hager is happy with what he's doing, so I don't think it's...
No, I mean, like, they're not going to give him, like, the four-year contract.
I'd imagine
like
he'll probably pay for by appearance. Yeah. I mean, Peter Avalon was on Elevation on Monday.
No.
So even the people that are still doing pay by appearance, they're still there. You know? No, and he was also on BTE. So it's like the people that whose contract statuses are kind of in the wind.
In the winds, up in the air.
Are still kind of involved.
Yeah, they were saying, I saw a list the other day. It was like 8 guys, 10 guys, whatever it was. And then I was looking at that list, and I was like, wow, you really don't see half these guys on this list.
Yep.
You know, Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's Cage been?
Dog poop did. Is that what he picked up, or?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cage's, you don't really see him after the whole breakup from the
you
team test.
Do you have dog poop or do you fart your way out? Both.
No, that was just a pee pad.
Oh.
Ooh, it smells bad.
That was just a pee pad. Yeah.
Well, all right. But yeah, I don't see Cage no more.
Yep. We haven't seen him in a long time.
Since who, Christian?
No, Bryan.
Oh, Bryan. No, I think Bryan's
done.
Done. I think he's just riding out his, what's it called?
Last of his contracts.
Yeah, he had a match a weekend or two ago against Max Caster on the Indies.
Yeah, he had the Indies show, yeah.
And then he also had one against Will Ospreay, like, the same weekend or, like, a couple days later. So, like, I don't know. Like, for me, like...
He's got the body, he doesn't have the charisma.
No, he just, like, he doesn't.
He's a machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, like...
You need somebody to speak for him, and the problem is that I don't know if he doesn't think that, or if it's you don't have the right person for him.
Well, his wife went off on it.
You put him in like something like you give him a Paul Heyman type, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But he needs that. He needs somebody to speak for him and to.
Well, the funny thing was is like, and I heard this about Team Taz. Like somebody described Team Taz as like a group of faces acting like heels,
mm-hmm.
pretending to be heels. And that kind of like makes
it makes
like
sense.
Kind of makes sense when you look at it. It's like, okay, between Ricky and Hook and Tat, like,
well, Hook's on another level. He's over like Rover right now.
But like, when you think of it as like Brian Cage, I'm like, okay, if you want, like, if you want him to be,
I didn't even see June.
No, she's upstairs. Hey,
what are you talking about? Oh, the balls underneath there. That's why. I'll get it for
her. Okay, thanks, man.
But yeah, like Hook's over like Rover. Starks is like the in between kind of. Like, you're not sure if he's a face or a heel, and Hobbs is just a big man.
Yeah. So, like, it is definitely one of those things where it's, like, where does Cage fit in? And especially, like, when you tried to have him, like, turn face on Team Taz when, like, they, like, yes, like...
Who's going to speak for him?
They're but, like, even then, it's like, yeah, they're heels, but they're, like, not really heels. They're not, like...
They're
They're mustache-twirling heels. They're not, like...
Almost comedy heels, yeah.
Yeah, like, they're not, like... Yeah, like...
Like Ricky Starks is funny, and Hobbs is a big muscle, but...
Yeah. And they're all good talents that, like, can put one another over.
Yeah, they don't feel... Oh, yeah. They don't feel evil, you're right.
Like, yeah, they don't feel evil.
No.
And I,
it's because Taz is on commentary. He can't be super hateful.
Yeah. Oh, on Fridays, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, but
I don't know. I love Taz on commentary.
Oh, he's great in commentary.
Especially when he sings songs. That's my favorite part.
I think that's part of the issue is that you can't have them be a full heel group if you need him on commentary to be relatable and funny.
It makes sense. He's like the in between kind of. Yeah.
Right.
Like, oh, we need that heel commentary, but at the same time, like, your group has to also be in between as you're doing commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks for showing up.
Exactly.
And then,
In for Cage, Cage just ended up being in, like, okay, so you already have a Lance Archer. So, do you have another, and you already have a Miro.
And that,
how many big muscle monsters do you need?
And that team you already had,
and both, in my opinion, Lance Archer and Miro are better than Cage in a lot of ways.
I would agree because they can both speak for themselves.
Yeah,
like they don't need someone to speak for them.
Which is funny because you guys say those two names, whereas I always compared a guy like Brian Cage more like to Pac. Because they have more lucha style.
Oh, his style is different. But what I'm saying is the way they present the character.
Yeah.
The way they present the character is they present Brian Cage as a monster, and not as just a guy that's big that can do lucha shit.
Yeah.
Not a big man who can flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Now the shame is that I love to see them do like a ring of like a run of like Keith Lee versus Brian Cage. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know.
You would probably won't see it.
No.
No. So, all right. Dude, what the ball? Do we
energy goes?
Yeah, I was like, do we want to call it?
We could call it.
Let's call it. I still don't know what these episodes are about, but
we kind of just—it's
kind of what we do.
Just kind of
We just kind of talk today, everybody. It's these last two episodes.
We're getting our sea legs back.
Yeah, we're trying.
We're coming back from the COVID recovers.
Yeah, I've got to gotta make sure that I can last a couple episodes and. Maybe we'll come back with some D&D at some point.
It's D&D. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to do that for our outro.
Get some fantasy going.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for this D&D game that we're going to play.
Should be fun.
Dodgeballs and dominoes, right?
I mean, it's in there.
what we're playing, right?
You'll have to speak to the right NPC.
Just go to yield.
Oh, if you end up in the wrong place in this world that I'm creating, yeah, you'll be playing some dodgeball.
Nice. Okay.
With orc skulls?
Not though. No.
Oh.
With exploding slimes.
Nice. Just as good.
Yep.
Well, all right. Thanks to all our listeners for enjoying another episode of the Feuding Factions. Here's a little tease for what will be coming.
Better get back up here. This is a song about a guy you might remember from high school. Or you might be this guy from high school. I don't know. My little harmonica. I got my 12-sided die, and I'm ready to roll with a wizard and my goblin crew. My friends are coming over to my mom's basement, bringing Funyuns and the Mountain Dew. I got a big broadsword made out of cardboard, and that stereo's a pumping Zeppelin. It's that time of the night, we turn on the black light. Let the Dungeons and the Dragons begin. It's D&D! Fighting with the legends of yore. It's D&D! Never kissed a lady before. Nope.